Welcome to episode 209 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. This week, I'm bringing you the first of my shows relating to this year's Goodwood Festival of Speed, an event which I photograph each summer for a number of publications. As I've said previously, it always comprises several long, hot, busy days for me, but they are ultimately very rewarding. Now, by way of introduction to the Goodwood-themed podcasts which will follow over the coming editions, this time around, I'm giving you an overview of what I got up to each day. So welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 209! It's just after 6 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. It's the Sunday, the final day of this year's Goodwood Festival of Speed. Now, for those of you that don't know, as I always like to remind you, the Festival of Speed is an event which takes place over several days in West Sussex, here in the UK. And it is a celebration of motoring, sports cars, speed, power, all that sort of thing. You get the likes of Formula One teams, you get Can-Am race cars, you get vintage racing cars, motorbikes, all that sort of thing. And every year I attend the event and I'm under commission either by independent clients or by magazines. So I have recorded a number of bits of audio over the show, and those will be shared with you in due course. But as I sit here in the queues, waiting to get out one of the main gates, and the rain is just starting to fall again, as it has done on and off over the weekend, I thought I'd share just an overview of what I've been up to. So, essentially, my main purpose for being here this year was to shoot for a number of publications spanning the US, Australia, and perhaps this country as well. Often my take on working with British magazines is that they very often send photographers, journalists themselves. They have already planned this well in advance, and past experience has shown that when I contact them saying, would you be interested in a feature at the event, and da-da-da, very often, not always, but very often, it's the case that the response is, well, maybe, send us what you've got when you're done, and if we like it, we'll take it from there. And that's no good to me, really. Sometimes it's worth doing, as long as I've got solid commissions in place, but the reason I tend to steer clear of that situation is I like to have solid commissions in place. Confirmation from editors that they are going to commission me, and this is the amount we've agreed that they're going to pay me. The other reason for that is that in order to get into the event, the Festival of Speed, as a photographer or journalist or TV camera person or what have you, you have to go through the accreditation process. And for that, you need to have proof that you are who you are, who you're working for. An example of the a recent piece that you have had commissioned, and things like, if it's for a website, for example, Goodwood want to see statistics about how many visitors and how far, you know, how established the magazine or the website is. So, of course, I have to go through that process, and that's how I get my foot in the door. And then you carry on. So that's my kind of approach to these events. The same is true of the Revival, which is in September, so later in the year. The Revival, for those that don't know, is all about period, vintage, racing, and all the stuff that goes with it, you know, around the sort of 40s, 30s, 40s, 50s, that sort of thing. Everyone's encouraged to dress in period costume. If you turn up in jeans and a t-shirt, you look incredibly out of place. Unless you are taking on the sort of like biker kind of look, in which case, you know, leather jackets, jeans, gelled back hair, that sort of thing. obviously, I don't go for the gelled back hair look because I have very little hair on the top of my head. So let's get back to the Festival of Speed. It started off for me on the Thursday. You have what's known as the Moving Motor Show. And that's something which, it's a preview of new cars, new developments, technology, all that sort of thing. I didn't attend that. I wasn't really needing to. I wasn't that interested. But I did visit that area later in the weekend in order to look at particular stands that were particular stands which were there. It was just a very sort of fleeting visit, actually. But my main reason for turning up on the Thursday was that that is the official kind of launch day, the official welcome. Lord March, who, you know, it's his residence, Goodwood House. It's a 17th century family home. He, you know, welcomes the members of the press and you know, teams with the cars and all this sort of thing. But there's this wonderful, wonderful fireworks display that appears over the top of Goodwood House. And in front of the house, you have what they call the central feature or the central display. And every year it celebrates a different manufacturer or a different theme. Today, or rather this year, it was celebrating BMW's centenary. And so there were a number of BMW cars on this massive structure, and it's all very impressive. I photographed the fireworks there. I won't go into the details of what cameras and settings and everything I used because, and I haven't checked it back, it remains to be seen whether the audio is any good, but I did record some audio whilst I was shooting that. Now, the fireworks were extra impressive this year. You know, often I don't get sort of taken aback by it, but something was different this year, and they were fantastic, very, very loud. So hopefully the recording is fine, and I will be sharing that with you in the coming weeks. So that was the Thursday, and then the event proper starts on the Friday. That's when you get, you know, the majority or the first lot of general public coming in. A lot of people still consider it Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday is always a bit quieter compared to Saturday or Sunday. And for me, the thing that governed my progress and the way I laid out my weekend this year was the weather. Because we have been very spoilt over recent years. It's been lovely and hot and sunny and dry and just about perfect. Blue skies, puffy white clouds, which all the supercars, all the displays, everything always looks better. There's a classic, couple of classic cars going past me now. They're lovely. Wow. So the weather really does play a part in how appealing the pictures are. So looking at the forecast, Friday was set to be completely dry, which indeed it was. So I won't say rushed around, but I made sure I wasn't sitting about too much drinking tea in the media centre. I made a point of going around thinking what are the main things I need to capture, the particular cars or that sort of thing. So one of the things that was a priority was specifically vehicles made by Ford, and I'm sure I will elaborate on this at a later date. So there were certain things. My first job was once I had signed in the media centre, I looked at the show programme and the listings of all the cars and what have you. Excuse me, just got to get out of the way of another car being directed. There we go. So I looked at the programme and the list of entries of all the cars and what have you. Again, just going to negotiate my way. Hang on. Here we go. Sorry, it's a little bit of a sort of traffic, not traffic jam, but people trying to go both ways and there's really not the room. So, yeah, so I looked at these programmes, list of entries, and just to see what the highlights were. Certain cars, certain notable drivers and all that sort of thing. Once I'd done that, the other, let's call it, document that I had was every year, or rather every day, you get a printout of the running order, what's going on across the day. And so I could look at which different batches. Here we go. Final attempt to get out of this bit. There we go. So I could see that, for example, at 10:50 there was going to be, I don't know, the supercar run. That wasn't the time for it, but let's say for argument's sake. So in that, and performance cars and what have you, so in that you'd get things like the Ford Mustang, all it's got a Bugatti, not the Veyron, that's old news now, the Chiron, all those sort of big performance cars which are real crowd pleasers. So for that was what dictated key times through the day, and I was then able, once I got that in place, I was able to fit in my day around that, so people I needed to see. And I always make a point of trying to find notable cars, their owners, and try to have a chat with them initially and say, look, I'm doing this feature for this magazine, could I have a chat with you about it, could you tell me a bit about the car, what have you. I always record those, so I've got my notes. And so my way of working is very flexible, because the magazines that I've was writing for again this year, the ideas are basically those which I have pitched to the magazines, and they must like it because they commission me time and time again. And because, and I was explaining this to one of the Goodwood team, because it's my idea which I have pitched, I know exactly what I want to put together. I know the cars that I want to photograph, the people that I want to talk about, the sort of images that I know I need to shoot. And I can perfectly mould in a very flexible way my weekends around any changes, any extra things I happen to see and what have you. So that's what I did on Friday, was to make a real start on that. The main reason being, all the vehicles, of course, are there for the whole weekend, but I wanted to make sure that if, or rather when, the weather changed and it poured down with rain, which it absolutely did, excuse me, pictures of these cars and the track action and all that sort of thing always looks better when it's dry. Nice bright sunshine brings out the colour, the colours of the cars and all that sort of thing. So, for example, from a technique point of view, I'll often sit opposite on the first corner, looking down at the start line, and the cars come towards you and they're hacking along there, and of course us photographers, we're behind straw bales and what have you. You have to have a tabard to get there. Maybe that's something I could talk about at another time. And when it's lovely and sunny, you have kind of like what's the word, not a conundrum, not a juxtaposition, the kind of the situation whereby you want lots of bright sunshine to bring out all the colours in the cars and what have you, make them look good, but you also want a slow enough shutter speed so that you can, or fast enough so that you can freeze the movement, but slow enough that, bear with me, just coming to a junction, so fast enough that you can freeze the motion, but slow enough that you have the wheels of the cars showing movement. So, you know, you're aiming for 125th of a second, 60th of a second, depends on, you know, how fast the cars are moving and what have you. So, you know, priority was to bag some important shots before the weather changed. That was that. Once I'd sort of had a good crack at that, I went back to the media centre and maybe had some lunch or went and had a cup of tea. Set up my computer and recharged my phone and backed up my pictures. I can talk more about that process if you'd like me to. If you would, just let me know. And I did this sort of a couple of times maybe through the day. And at the end of the first day, at the end of the Friday, I did that process and I checked my pictures to see what I had, to make sure if there was anything that was missing, so that I could think ahead to the next day. So there wasn't anything Friday, Saturday, Sunday, there wasn't anything specific that really dictated my day. I was very fortunate in that. Okay, so the thing with the tabards, I will mention a bit more about this because it's important to this bit of the story. In order to get trackside at the event, you can only do that if you have a photographer's tabard, and they are in short supply because, of course, as you can imagine, it's the event. It's not at a motor circuit like Silverstone or Brands Hatch or any of these big motor speedways. It's, you know, it's the grounds of a country home. So the track itself, what's known as the hill climb, it's 1.16 miles. That is, you know, it's a driveway with hay bales either side. So they can't let too many photographers in. Now, you know, it's down to the discretion, I suppose, of the stewards, that if you suddenly had 15 photographers all turn up wanting to be opposite the start line on that corner for that particular batch of cars, I would imagine they're going to say, do you know what, I can only let a certain amount of you in at any one time. I don't know, I'm only guessing. But the point being, you have to have a tabard to be there, and they're in short supply. So what I had to do was speak nicely to the team at Goodwood and say, I looked at the timetable for the Friday, and I went up to the lady that I always talk to, and I said, look, I need a tabard. These are the batches, and the runs of cars that go up the hill are referred to as batches. I said, I need, over the course of this day, and they are repeated each day, so it's not the end of the world if you don't manage it on a particular day. There were three particular batches that I needed to photograph. And she said to me, she looked at it and she said, well, I can give you a tabard for this batch, the first of three. And it was, I think it was something like 1:50 in the afternoon. And the other ones were at 3:50 and 4:30, I think, if memory serves me right. And so I said, that's okay. I said, do you want the tabard back after that run? So she did. So I came back. And, you know, this is where it pays to be nice and friendly and professional. If you want to know a bit more about professionalism, I can direct you to a podcast from a couple of weeks ago. The link will be in the show notes. and it's a bit about why it pays to be a professional. Anyway, so I said to her, here's the tabard, or rather, yeah, I'm back now, do you want the tabard? And she said, well, remind me, what were the other batches that you need to photograph? And I told her, and she said, and it, by that stage, by the time that run had finished, it was only about, I don't know, 40 minutes before the next one, and then, of course, it was only about 40 minutes until the one after that. And she said, you know what, keep hold of it. She didn't have to do that. She could have said, keep hold of it. It may have been that no one else particularly needed it, but I doubt that very much. But she said, you know what, just keep hold of it. Just, you know, return it at the end of the day. And so on the Friday, I managed to hit each of the batches going up the hill that I needed. And that was brilliant, because that just completely freed up my time for the remainder of the event, the Saturday and the Sunday. So I didn't worry about doing any more track stuff after that. Sure enough, Saturday it rained on and off. On one occasion, it rained so much that rather than just being the odd sprinkle, which is, you know, you can just walk through that, it doesn't matter, I actually had to put waterproofs on. And for those of you who follow me on Instagram, which I believe is instagram.com/GilesBabbage, or one word, or @GilesBabbage, links coming up at the end of the show, I shared pictures throughout the show, a few along the way, of me, you know, each day, sort of how I was set up and all the rest of it. And one of them on that Saturday was me with an item of clothing which will probably be of interest to those of you who are mainly interested in the outdoors, which of course is what I usually most frequently talk about on the show, outdoors photography. And that was the Paramo poncho. Now, I'll be honest, I've never really used a poncho. It's, you know, I tend to, I'll put on, if I need the protection, I'll put a good jacket on, maybe some waterproof trousers as well. So I'm head to toe waterproofed up. But Paramo asked me to take a look at it, and it's the first opportunity that I've had to really give it a go. And you know what? It worked out well. I stayed dry. There were certain considerations to bear in mind when you're walking around with a rucksack and two cameras, as I was. But check out Instagram, you'll see the picture, you'll see what it looks like. And that, you know, that sort of came on and off two or three times. So that was that. That was my... so that was Saturday. Sunday, that's today. That brings us right up to date. The first thing that I did, and I should probably add that at the end of each day, I made a point of going back to the media centre, backing stuff up, including the audio conversations that I'd had along the way. I'd also, in the process of doing the audio conversations, if I'd seen someone that I wanted to talk to, I made a point of, you know, saying to them, look, I'm here all weekend, is now a good time? If not, I'll swing by, catch up with you, and you know, take it from there, which indeed was the case on at least one occasion. So Sunday today was really nice and relaxing, because up until last night I had basically shot everything that I needed. If I got nothing else, I'd had enough in the bag, would have had enough in the bag to do my features. And as usual, I have massively overshot. Now, you know, we're talking double digits of the number of pictures that I need to supply with these features. So why I've come away with over 1,000 pictures, you might think, well, why have you done that? Well, the reason being, there are some shots which you shoot in bursts of maybe 3 at a time. Things like cars speeding along and all this sort of thing. For every maybe portrait shot of someone with their car that I maybe interviewed, you do different versions, generally with shots. If I shoot it in a if I shoot it in a landscape format, I'll also shoot it vertical just in case, because even if I know that the pictures won't be used in the vertical format, for example on a website, invariably 9 times out of 10, because the web is essentially a horizontal image format, that's what I'm, you know, we'll keep in mind. With vertical shots, you might get a better crop by cropping into it horizontally. So the pressure was off, which was nice. And I had had to arrange to swing by a particular chap and his wife who had a notable car. So I did that. I went to them this morning, and unfortunately, if I'd been a bit more thoughtful, I could have checked the timetable, but he was about 10 minutes away from going to the start, you know, the assembly area to, you know, go up the hill in his particular batch. So I said to them, and the previous time I needed or wanted to speak to him, I missed him. He was somewhere else having a look around. Anyway, so today I had to do that. I had to have a conversation with him. But what I did was made a point of going all the way up to the very top of the hill in order to photograph the rally stage, or the what do they call it, the forest rally stage, which is perhaps my favourite part of the event. I just find it more exciting, you know, the cars throwing themselves into the corners, and you know, it was all wet and muddy this time, but usually you get big clouds of smoke and all that sort of thing. So I went and spent a bit of time out there. There were some cars and some action which I shot for rally magazines, specifically, but also some general stuff which I can put into my other features. So as I was saying before, if it was specifically to do with Ford, there are notable cars there that I is important to capture. So that was really nice to get up to the top of the hill. Like when I first started to do the festival speed, it didn't register, or I wasn't aware that actually they have a tractor service, which basically is a series of these tractors with trailers with bench seats on them, and they take you all the way up cross country, essentially, you know, sort of up fields and what have you, really quite steep fields, to the top of where the rally stage is. Now, in the past, I hadn't realised this, and I ended up walking up the whole of up these hills, quite steep, quite a long walk. And you know, it makes a heck of a difference when you don't have to do that. So when I went to do that, I first had to go back into the media centre and ask for a bib, or when I say bib, a tabard for the forest rally stage. Now those are bright fluorescent green. You cannot you cannot miss someone wearing one of those. And again, go to Instagram and you will see a photograph of me wearing my tabard. I also shared another picture from up there as well. And I just spent, I spent maybe half an hour or so walking around where all the cars were parked up, getting some general shots. It was earlier in the morning, so probably about, I don't know, 10:30, something like that, so it wasn't too busy already. And then I went down, yeah, I walked down into the forest, into the woodland, and the stage is essentially as good as a rally stage on, you know, on the world rally circuit. And I tried out a couple of different positions. One, looking on at a jump area where the cars get a little bit airborne. And then once I got a few shots that I liked from there, I walked my way round to another favourite spot of mine, which is that there are the hay bales right on a corner, and the cars come sort of fairly sharp, almost 90 degrees left in front of camera. Okay, as you stand there looking at the action, the cars sweep round to the right. Now, I say that was one of my favourite positions. What they'd done this year is they had put an extra layer of hay bales there, so it was like two deep, which is great for safety, and I can fully appreciate the need to do that, and I don't have a problem with that. What is a shame is that it now means that you don't get the same sweep for the shots. You don't see quite as much of the track where the cars come. So if you're not careful, you either lose a bit of the car behind the view of the hay bale, or you just essentially kind of run out of framing space. And the other thing that was a bit of a shame today, because it had been so wet over the past day or so, it's essentially chalk and clay is the ground around here. Goodwood is set within the South Downs, and I'm sure a lot of you know that the South Downs is essentially clay and more so a chalk, landscape. So the cars, because it was so slippery, the cars were dry, the drivers were going much more gingerly into the corners, so you weren't getting the drama. And I was actually recording some more audio for the podcast. Again, that'll be out, all being well, in the fullness of time. And it was, as you will hear on that, it was not frustrating, but it was, I wasn't getting the shots that I had been able to usually, because of those two things: the cars going a bit slower and being a bit more careful, and the fact that I couldn't get the full view that I wanted. So I tried a couple of positions and worked it as best I can, and as I say, all will be revealed in that that particular podcast. So that was that. That took up a good bit of my time. I came back down the hill, went and had some lunch, had to go and speak to someone, did a little bit of a general purpose imagery of, I say general purpose, fairly specific, but more general overview stuff as well. And that basically took me to, it was about 4:30, 5 o'clock, something like that. And it was time for me to pack up and head away. And by the time I talked to, a number of people and sort of said my goodbyes and spoke to the staff and all the rest of it, before you know it, it was, I believe, around about 6 o'clock that I started recording this. And that, in a whirlwind's nutshell, has been my Goodwood Festival of Speed for this year. I've really enjoyed it. I always do enjoy it. One of the funniest things about this is, and I don't mind admitting this, the show is through and through a car show, right? I am not particularly a car person. I can appreciate, and I may have mentioned this before, I can appreciate nice cars, I can appreciate the engineering, the design, all that. But, and this is something that I put out on Twitter actually, supercars, for example, they are lovely. They are incredible, incredible machines. But for my money, they're all starting to look a little bit the same. Obviously, yes, they have different shapes, but they essentially follow the same pattern. They're all pointy, they've got big curves, they, if you ask a young person to a child to draw you what they think a sports car looks like, it will look not dissimilar to a great majority of supercars and performance cars that are on the market. Myself, I am more interested in older cars, if at all. And things like the AC Cobra, I really like. I like the older cars that, I don't know, they have a bit more history, a bit more character. I'm just not fazed, that's not the word. I'm not that impressed, like, in a wow factor, kind of the way that so many people get beside themselves when they see Ferraris and Porsches and Bentleys and all this sort of thing. But anyway, that's just me. Nothing wrong with, you know, being crazy about cars. Many, many people are. Happy to photograph them. But as I said to someone today, for me, the more important thing is they're saying, well, why are you at a car show? A, I like shooting at Goodwood. B, I love putting together features. I like coming up with an idea, knowing that I'm going to be speaking to some interesting people, seeing some interesting things, and seeing it all comes together. I like the creation, the process. And as I said to someone else, if I happened to come across a hut on the top of a hill which had real character, and there was someone I could talk to, and they were maybe a bit quirky or had an interesting story, I'd be really interested in finding out more and seeing if we could put a story together around it. So that is the bigger picture for me, which is why I keep going back to Goodwood, though, for those various reasons. So, in summary then, that is the overview. There are these other podcasts to come, subject to technical issues not getting in the way, things like fireworks being far too loud for you to be able to hear me. I won't know this until I'm back at base and listen back to the footage. So there's other stuff coming, and today I just wanted to round off things, give you an overview by way, you know, by way of introduction to the event for this year, and by way of introduction to my recordings. So that's all I have to say at the moment. So for now, I will leave it there. Be sure to listen to next week's episode, in which I'll be bringing you the first of my recordings made live whilst on location at Goodwood. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.